Welcome to the Daily International OU Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's call on Yom Rishon on the sixth day of the month of Tammuz. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors, the Schwartz family, whose names and information are prominently listed in the OU Today daily email. If you would like to sponsor future calls, and we greatly appreciate your support, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. The deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's email is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. As we shared on Friday's call, and I greatly appreciate all of you, and there were many of you, who reached out to share your valuable feedback, starting today, we will begin engaging our visiting rabbi for a brief, and I emphasize brief, conversation to learn a little about the community which he represents. We'll try this each day, and it may take us a bit to get it exactly right with a few variations, including us potentially moving it to after Achenu, until we hopefully have it nailed down to a science and also being open to the possibility that it doesn't work and we'll drop it altogether. We value your time and do not take it or you for granted that you join us each day for these daily Tehillim and Chizuk phone calls. For those of you who weren't on Friday's call, the thought process here is to virtually, or at least by phone, to travel to the many cities our wonderful rabbis hail from and learn a little bit about their special communities and how they are experiencing the challenges, and I would add the opportunities of COVID-19. Furthermore, one additional change, which you may have noticed if you were on time today, is that we will now begin going forward the calls at 1 p.m. sharp instead of at 1:01. On behalf of the OU, it is my distinct honor to introduce Rabbi Akiva Males, Mor D'Asara of the Young Israel of Memphis in Memphis, Tennessee, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Males reciting three chapters of Tehillim, Parak Chaf, Chaf Zayin, and Kuf Lamed, chapters 20, 27, and 130, and Rabbi Males will conclude with the Mishnah Berach, L'cholam, and Achenu. It is a great honor to welcome Rabbi Males to the OU Daily Call. Rabbi Males, welcome. How are you, your family, and wonderful community doing?
Thank you very much, Naftali. It's great to be part of this call. It's a privilege, and Baruch Hashem, my wife and I are doing well. Our community is doing well, and we hope everyone out there is doing well, too.
Fantastic. Could you paint briefly a portrait for us of what Jewish life is like in Memphis?
Sure. Jewish life in Memphis, our community is very rich in Jewish life. It actually goes back well over 100 years, and the first Orthodox shul in Tennessee, I believe, was founded here in Memphis, Tennessee. Currently, there are four Orthodox shuls. Alphabetically, there's Anshei Tzfard, then there's Baron Hirsch, there's the Chabad, and then there's us, Young Israel. We have an Erev, we've got mikvahs, we've got a day school, and we've got both a separate boys and girls high school. So it's very, very, people who come down here are absolutely able to live a full Jewish life.
Amazing. Now, every community believes that they're the best kept secret. What is something unique and special about your shul community that our listeners from around the country and really the world may not know about the great Jewish community of Memphis?
That's a great question. I think it's really the people. There are such wonderful members of our community. As I said, many of them go back several generations, and it's not uncommon that you'll meet a family here who have their parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and the history that they can tell you of the South, and particularly this part of Tennessee. But we also have many transplants who have, over the years, joined our community for one reason or another. It may have been a job opportunity, it may have been the school, other parts of the South, people may have migrated here so their kids could attend Yeshiva High School. And there's just been so many incredible people that I've met during the time that we've been here. And I think you'll find in communities all over the country and, in fact, around the world, you'll find people who have their roots in Memphis. Their families may have started off here, they may have lived here for some time, they may have gone through our Yeshiva and our high schools here. And I think they're contributing greatly to the world around us.
Incredible. I've never been, but I'm adding it to the places I definitely need to visit. Lastly, how has COVID-19 impacted the community? And where are you now with Faison? Are you back in the shul? Are there outdoor minyanim? Where are you currently at the moment?
Excellent question. We, like Jewish communities around the country, we pretty much shut down much of our communal structure around March 15th. That was pretty much right the week, the Shabbat after, the Sunday after Purim, actually. And that's when the school closed. That's when our shuls ceased functioning. It's been a challenging number of months. Thank God we were not hit by the virus the same way other communities were in terms of feeling its impact in members of our community. However, we're very concerned, whereas some parts of the country, all the numbers are going down and the trends are going down. This part of the country, unfortunately, numbers are beginning to rise. And while we have been spared for the most part, the community, I say, is very concerned and watching the news closely. We're being very careful to observe all the distancing, the face mask wearing. As far as minyanim go, some of the shuls are moving at different speeds, but we're generally all experimenting with the model of being outdoors, distance, and masked. Some of them have just mincha marav. Some of them have moved into shacharis. We've moved into shacharis. And this past week, we even had a Kabbalah Shabbos for the first time, as well as Shabbos afternoon mincha and Matzah Shabbos marav. So we're gradually doing this one step at a time. It's been a huge adjustment, but everyone's been very conscientious and respectful of what we all need to do to keep each other safe and look after one another. And we look forward to continuing to move forward in a safe fashion. Of course, we're being in touch with national and local leading health experts, as well as Rabbanim and Proskim, who are helping us through this very challenging time.
Absolutely. Well, our thoughts and our tefillot are definitely with you and your community, as they are with the rest of the country and the entire world. Rabbi Mel, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a brief picture of your wonderful community. To our dear callers, please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker. And now, to share Divrei Chizuk with us, the Chavod, with great honor, Rabbi Mel.
Thank you very much, Natali. I want to share with you one brief Torah thought. Yesterday, we read Parshas Korach. And while one might think that what can be inspirational and uplifting in Parshas Korach, I think there's a very powerful lesson in Parshas Korach that can really lift our spirits. And that is that we find after the incidents of that failed insurrection, that failed rebellion that Korach and his followers led against Moshe and Aaron, Hashem tells Moshe, there's one last thing I need you to do. We're going to have one final test to make an example, a lesson once and for all, that everyone will understand that Aaron was appointed by you, but through my words, to be the Kohen Gadol, and the kahuna is going to stem from Aaron. How are we going to prove this? Collect a matah, a staff, a walking stick from each one of the shvatim, from the leader of each one of the shvatim, put them in the Ohel Moed, in the inner sanctum of the Mishkan, of the tabernacle, and the one that I've chosen is going to sprout, it's going to flower. And of course, Aaron is chosen, his staff is chosen as the one representing Shevet Levi, the tribe of Levi. And we're told in the pasuk that the next day, Moshe brings out all of the staffs, these 12 staffs. And of course, the one that has flowered, the one that has blossomed, is the staff of Aaron. Not only has it blossomed, but it has buds on it, and it's even growing almonds. And all of Bnei Yisrael see this, and they all understand. It ends here, for once and for all, the machlokas, the argument ends. Aaron has clearly been chosen by God to be the Kohen Gadol, to represent all the Jewish people in the Avodah and the service that's going to take place in the Mishkan, in the Tabernacle, and later in the Beis HaMikdash, the temples that would be built in Yerushalayim would all be his descendants. And the pasuk concludes by telling us that Moshe was to take Aaron's matah, that staff, and was to leave it as a permanent fixture in the Ohel Moed, in the tent of meeting, in the Mishkan. And later we're told, the Gemara tells us in Yoma, that that staff of Aaron was also placed in the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, the Gemara tells us in Yoma, close to 1,000 years later, when the first Beis HaMikdash was nearing the point of being destroyed, the king at the time, the Melech Yehuda, his name was Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu HaMelech, King Yoshiyahu, when he realized that the destruction would be coming soon, he took several of the most important items of the Beis HaMikdash and he hid them somewhere in the catacombs that had been built by Shlomo HaMelech, by King Solomon, beneath the Temple Mount, beneath Har HaBayis. And amongst those items that were hidden away was the Aron, the ark that contained the Luchos, the tablets of law, but also, surprisingly, this matah, this staff of Aron. It had remained together with Bnei Yisrael for close to 1,000 years, and Yoshiyahu HaMelech took that staff, and that was one of the precious items that was hidden beneath the Temple Mount. And God willing, when we have the third Beis HaMikdash, The Aron will retrieve that Aron, that Ark, and we'll also have that Mata Aron again. And that really raises the question. There were several Matas, there were several staff that played prominent roles amongst the history of Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people, during our time when we left Egypt and then our wanderings in the wilderness. And if one was to ask me, if one was to ask any of us, whose staff played a most prominent role that Bnei Yisrael saw more miracles from? Was it the staff of Moshe or was it the staff of Aaron? I think all of us would say the staff that played a more prominent role in the history of Bnei Yisrael was the staff of Moshe, not the staff of Aaron. Yet we know nothing. Whatever happened to the staff of Moshe? We don't know anything about it. It wasn't saved for posterity. What was it about the staff of Aaron? True, almonds were growing from it, and that was special. But Moshe's staff was special. Every year at Pesach, Nagada, we talk about Tetzach, Adash, Ba'achad, those inscriptions that were written on it representing the Makos, the various plagues that were the Egyptians were struck with during Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus. If anyone were to ask us which staff played a more prominent role in Jewish history, I think we'd all say it was the staff of Moshe. That being the case, why was it the staff of Aaron that was chosen to be put away for all generations? And God willing, when that third base on Mikdash is rebuilt, we'll have that staff once again. So I saw a beautiful answer in the Sefer in the book called Mikdash Mordechai, and here's what he answers. His answer is as follows. Is that true? Moshe's staff may have played a more prominent and recognizable role in the annals and the history of Bnei Yisrael of the Jewish people. However, what was the primary goal, the primary use of that staff? It was to mete out punishment. That's what it's synonymous with. That's what it was famous for. What did that staff do? All the plagues in Egypt, that's what that staff was famous for. But what was the role of Aharon's staff? When did Aharon's staff play such a prominent role that the Jewish people saw it engaged in its heavenly spiritual activity? This episode in Parshas Korach, where it ended Machlokas, where it ended the strife, it ended the rebellion, it ended the insurrection, Aaron's staff was responsible for restoring shalom in Bnei Yisrael. So the Sefer wants to suggest that, yes, even though Moshe's staff may have played a greater historical role, but the lesson of the staff, which one is more synonymous with the activities that we're supposed to engage in a daily basis? Moshe's staff represented what everyone saw of it was punishment. It saw a patch. It saw getting a slap. Egyptians needed to be punished. And yes, that was something that at a certain point in Jewish history, that was a role that it needed to play. But that's not for us on a constant basis. Aaron's staff represented shalom. It brought Bnei Yisrael together. It ended machlokas. It ended quarreling. That's something that we can bring into our lives, and that's something that we should bring into our lives and that ought to play a role in our lives on a daily basis. We're all familiar with the teaching in Maseches Avos. In Pirkei Avos, it says, Hillel taught us, having the Talmida shel Aaron, each and every one of us are supposed to strive as hard as we can to be the students of Aaron. Oev shalom, to love peace. Rodev shalom, pursue peace. Oves abrios mekavim l'torah, to love people, to love our fellow human beings, and try to draw our fellow Jews closer to Torah. Aaron's staff represented that. So even though it may have played a less of a role in the great part of Jewish history, however, that mission that it accomplished was absolutely essential and synonymous of what the goal of every Jew should be. And that's his suggestion as to why that staff was preserved and why the staff of Moshe wasn't. I think that's such a beautiful message and something for us to think about. As the Mishnah says, we all want to strive to be Mitamida Shel Aaron. We want to strive to count ourselves amongst the students of Aaron. And God willing, each and every one of us should find that strength to be able to do so. We'll continue now with a recitation of some Tehillim. So we're going to start with Tehillim Chaf, that's 20. And we'll recite that. I'll read that slowly in the Hebrew. And please join me. Chaf. Vanaseach mizmor leDavid, Yancha Adonai v'yom sara, Yisagevcha Shem Elohe Yaakov, Yishlach ezrecha mikodesh, U'mitzion yisadaka, Yizkor kol minchosecha, V'yolotcha yedash nesela, Yitein lecha chil vavecha, V'chol atoscha yimalei, Miran and Avi Shua Secha, Vishem Eloheinu Nidgol, Imale Adonai Komishalo Secha. Atayadati, Kiyoshi Adonai Mishicho, Yaneu Mishmei Kacho, Big Vuros Yesha Yimino, Elavarecha, Elavasusim, Vanach, Nuvishem Adonai Eloheinu Nazkir, We'll now recite Tehillim Chaf Zayin, that's chapter 27. L'David Adonai Orivi Shini Nira Adonai Ma'oz Chayai Nini Yafkad Bikrov Alay Mireim Lechol Espisari Sarai Vai Vai Vi Hemakash Luvin Afalu In Tachane Alay Machane Lo Yira Libi In Takum Alay Milkama Bizos Ani Boteach Akasho Altimei Sadonai, Osav Akesh, Shirti Bevei Sadonai, Kol Yimei Chayai, Lachzos Benom Adonai, Ulevaker Behei Chalo, Kiyitz Benemi Besuko, Biyom Ra, Yastireini Beseser Alo, Bitsur Yerom Emeni, Beata Yerom Roshi, Aloi Vaisa Vivasai, As the Chabalah Zivchei Srua, Ashira Vazamra Adonai, Shema Adoni Koli Akra, V'chaneni V'aneni, Lecha Amar Libi, Vakshu Fanai, Es Panecha Adonai Avakesh, Al Pasper Panecha Mimeni, Al Pas V'af Avdecha, Ezrasi Hayisa, Al Kicheni V'al Tazveni, Elohei Yishi, Ki avi v'imi atavuni, v'adonai yatsveini. Horeini Adonai darkecha, unicheini liorech mishor, l'man shorirai. Al tibneini b'nefesh sorai, ki kamu v'yedei sheker, v'fei achamach. Ule emanti liros v'tu v'adonai, b'yeret chayim. Kave al Adonai, chazak v'ameitz libecha, v'kave al Adonai. And lastly, we'll recite Tehillim Kuf Lamed, that's 130. Shir amalos mimamakim karaticha Adonai, Adonai shima v'koli, ki enaz nechar kashuvos l'kol tachanunai. Im avonos tishmorya Adonai miyamod, im chas licha l'man tivorei, kivisi Adonai kivsa nafshi v'livaro hocholti, nafshi l'Adonai mishomrim l'boker, shomrim l'boker, yachel Yisrael al Adonai, Kim Adonai Achesed v'harbei mofidus v'hu yisteth Yisrael mikol avonosav. We'll now recite the Mishaberach for Cholim. I'll read it and we'll pause when we get to the names. If anyone has a name of someone they'd like to add, please either speak out or consciously think that name. We'll pause for 15 to 20 seconds to allow all those names to be included. Mishaberach Avosenu Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, Moshe Aaron David Shlomo, Hu Yivarech Lirape Yatzacholem. Avor shanachnu mitzpalim ba'avuram, bizchazak kadosh baruch hu yimalei rachmim aleihem, lach limam l'raposam, lach zikam lach yosam, yishlach lami refuah shalema min ha-shamayim, l'ramach edoreihem u'shesav yideihem, b'sol sharkolei Yisrael, refuah ha-nefesh, refuah ha-guf, ha-shavag olav izman kariv v'nomar, amen. And finally, we'll recite the Achenu. Achenu kol beis Yisrael, anesunim etzura v'shivya, homdim ben v'yom v'en v'yabo shama kol mirachem aleihem, v'yoti em Yisrael l'irvacha, me'afei lo li'ora, mishibud le'gula, Yashar Koach, everyone.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Mals. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and refuah for all those in need will be answered, Latova. And may the Rabboni Sha'olam, the Master of the World, speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again on Monday, tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Words of Inspiration from Rabbi Stephen Miodanik of Congregation Ava Achim in Highland Park, New Jersey. This concludes today's call. Stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, safe, and healthy day.